Well, if you are newer to Navigation Church or you're just kind of catching up with us, you are jumping into a year of radical devotion. We have decided as a church, what would it look like if we would prioritize God in every area of our life for 1 year? So going into Easter this year, we have done a spiritual challenge. And the spiritual challenge, you're welcome to jump in right now. The best way to do this is to grab one of our soap papers. You know, after I said that out loud, I realized what it sounded like. So it's a piece of paper that on the back says soap, and here's why. We are journaling for the 40 days leading into Easter, every day reading the scriptures, and we're using the soap method. We're going to read scripture. We're going to observe what it has to say. We're going to ask then, how does this apply to our life now? And then we're going to spend some time in prayer. And all the scriptures, the daily scripture readings that you have, go along with the series that we've been doing on the Holy Spirit. So this week, we're going to read that the Holy Spirit is here to equip. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians and also Luke. And I want to encourage you to do that. And as you read, if you turn over to the front tells you a few things to do in your Bible. Squiggly lines, boxing things out, looking up definitions. I want to encourage you to jump in and do this soap method with us. It has been an absolutely powerful time that we've been doing this. And I don't just say that because people are reading their Bible, which is fantastic. I'm saying it because of the testimonies that we're getting. And some of the testimonies are coming out of the weekly challenges that we're doing. What is the weekly challenges? Well, there's two that last for the whole 40 days. And that is this: read scripture every single day, and ready for this? Don't miss a Sunday morning. And by the way, I know that some of you are going to say, well, I had this planned, or my kids had this event, or I'm not talking about something that was scheduled already. I'm talking about those of us who wake up on a Sunday morning and realize there are better things to do, like sit on the couch. I want you to invite you to be a part of church every single Sunday. And keep in mind, we got Palm Sunday coming up. We got Easter coming up. But then also between reading the scriptures, between not missing a single Sunday morning, there's also a weekly challenge. And this weekly challenge, I love it. This last week, you get to say, great, you talked to the Holy Spirit. This week is this: fast one go-to item. What is one go-to thing that you always need? And I'll go ahead and throw this out. Does anybody here need to fast coffee? I know you're not going to say yes to that, right, as you're holding it in your hand. But I know for, like, my wife and I, every night when we climb into bed, one of the things, we have a TV show that we turn on and we just watch. Is that something we need to fast? Are you a big breakfast person? You love breakfast. You look forward to breakfast. Should you fast breakfast? What is something in your life that you can intentionally fast so that when you need it or when you want it every single week, it reminds you, pray, talk to God? And so today, I'm not going to make you write it down. I'm not going to go person by person asking for a list. I'm just going to say this: we need to push into God. And here's a couple cool things that have happened this past week. So when it comes to talking to the Holy Spirit this week, heard one testimony of a gentleman who went in, he was making a purchase, let's just say that. He and his wife had it all planned out. They went in to make the purchase, and when they got there, something inside of him said, no, not to do it. And they fully planned on doing it, fully planned on making the purchase. They ended up leaving, came back the next day. Nothing had changed except they felt released to come and purchase this thing. They walked in the door. The place they were buying it from started giving them better rates and all kinds of other incentives because they just waited on God. This past week, my wife was driving down the road, and she does interior design work for a living, and the trailer on the drive there that was fully packed, there was no problem. But on the drive home with nothing in the trailer, it decided to jump off the hitch and get dragged behind her car. Has anyone ever had that before? Okay, so driving down the road, you're not the only one, hon. There's plenty of hands that went up here. And so now she's on the side of the road. I'm at home. One kid's in Maryville that needs to come home. Another kid needs to go to Alton. She's stuck in O'Fallon. And I'm, as a dad, trying to figure out, do I pick up the kid that's stranded? Do I take the kid that has the responsibility? Or do I help my wife? And Cammie told me, she goes, hey, you take care of kids, I'll take care of this. And I was upstairs in our bathroom brushing our teeth, and I said, Holy Spirit, the only thing we need is some guy to stop by. I need a redneck to show up right now. I just need a hillbilly, a good old boy to stop and brush teeth. And as I'm brushing my teeth, I looked in the mirror and I go, wouldn't it be cool if all of a sudden my phone rang and Cammie's like, you won't believe what just happened. And then on Sunday, I can go, hey, everybody, you won't believe it. While I was praying, my phone rang. And then I looked down and I realized I didn't even have my phone by me. I'm like, well, that won't work. So I finish brushing my teeth and I go downstairs to pick up my phone with a text message from Cammie and said, you won't believe this. Someone just stopped. I'm back on the road. I can tell you another story of a gentleman that's looking to serve here at the church, and he's kind of been wrestling. Is this something I'm supposed to do? And he decided in his heart, God, I'm going to do this. Speak to me about this. That night, he went to bed, had a very clear, vivid dream where God just spoke to him and confirmed what he was doing. Guys, I can go on and on with stories. And here's why. It's because we as a people decided to lean in and talk to God. The Holy Spirit that's alive here with us right now. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of these 40 days, whatever we have left, become radically devoted because we are having an intimate, personal, one-on-one conversation with God. If that gets you excited, say amen.
Amen.
This week, we're going to jump into week number 4 of Holy Spirit 101. If you haven't been here the last couple weeks, congratulations, I got a review for you. Week number 1 tells us this: if you do not see the Holy Spirit as a person, then you'll never have a personal relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit is His function, not His name. God is His name. God is His name. He functions as a spirit. He functions as a father. He functions as a son. He is a person that we need to have a personal relationship with Him. Week number 2 then, this person, He, the Holy Spirit, has a divine purpose here on earth. And the divine purpose that He has is to bring the presence of God to us. And so it's not just the Holy Spirit moving about, wandering, wondering if we ever get to catch up to Him. No, He's bringing the presence of God close to us as an individual. And why is it important that He brings it to the individual? Week number 3, the main point is when the Holy Spirit takes up the abode within us, He does it with a plan and a purpose. Here's the phrase we kept saying: He wants to abide in your abode. You are the tabernacle of God. You are the temple of God. You are the place that God is supposed to abide in. It isn't a building. It doesn't have stained glass windows. He is looking for people, and we can be those people. So week number 4 this week, here's kind of what the main point is to get us started. The Holy Spirit will empower you with supernatural gifts to reveal and glorify Jesus for the profit of the corporate body of Christ. The Holy Spirit that's living in power inside of you will empower you with natural gifts, sure, so that we can develop natural thinking and become natural people with natural thought, absolutely. But there's an aspect of God that is also supernatural. And when we say the word supernatural, let's just say this: it's above what we naturally are. When you look at Jesus, you have Jesus walking on earth as well as walking on water, as well as walking through doors, and as well as walking through crowds of people. Go read it for yourself. We have Jesus who could reach into the earth and bring a supernatural healing and put on people's eyes. But question for us needs to be this: should we call Jesus supernatural, or since He is what God created for us to be, should we look at Jesus and say that should be who we are naturally? And the rest of us, we are living at a subnatural creation. We are living below what God originally intended us to be. This is our inherited, our intuitive design, our inherited design versus what God intended our design to be. And so God is calling us up to a higher place, a supernatural place. So I want to kind of talk about this for a second. Because when the Holy Spirit moves in, somehow it looks different, but yet it's the same. Let me kind of unpack this for a minute. So my wife and I, we've had the privilege now to live in 3 different houses. All 3 of the houses I've either built or have had a major part in building. But it's something amazing. Every house had 2x4s. Every house had drywall. Every house had paint. How many in your house right now, you have a bed, you have a couch, you have some kitchen furniture, right? Or kitchen appliances. But somehow all the houses look different. Because the very first house that I built, I got to decorate. And here's what the flooring looked like. It was hard burgundy carpet with black tile, or it was in tile, it was that Luan stuff. The cabinets were white, but all the decorations was either black, gray, or burgundy throughout the house. It looked like a bachelor pad, and I loved it. Why? Because when I moved in by myself, the expression of who I was came out through it. But then Cammie moved in when we got married, and then I all of a sudden had no say-so in decorations whatsoever. I've read our contract, and I don't remember seeing where I got moved out and she got moved in. But then in the next house, the whole house did not look like a bachelor at all. It looked like a lady who wanted to make a home, like soft and welcoming and comfortable, not a loud, abrasive, and bold colors, right? And then by the time we get to our third house, same girl, Cammie, decorated the same house, just in a different location, but now we had these things called kids. Have you ever had these things? And our house now looks radically different. Our house in the basement now has rope lights that just go throughout the house so that the kids can turn off lights and have neon green. Like, I don't know what's happening, but in bedrooms we have it. And here's what you have to understand is, it's been the same people, but the expression that came out is completely different because of the house and the life that we're living in. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives in all of us. But each one of us, our houses are going to be a little different. So the furniture, the decor, the expression, those of you maybe in your senior years versus those of you with infants in your house, all of our gifts, it's going to look different because we each have a different house and the life that you're living is going to have a different expression. So if you want your Holy Spirit expression to look like me, then you have to come be me. But the thing is, you're supposed to have your own expression, your own identity, your own outward look of what the Holy Spirit looks like in your life. And so today I want to talk about what it looks like, what type of decor, the type of furniture, the type of outward expression that we should express when internally we've allowed the Holy Spirit to abide in our abode. And here's what it looks like. It's gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we're going to talk about the gifts. Now that the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, the person's there, he's abiding inside of our abode, he's going to be bringing different furniture to fill us out, right? Other translations, instead of the word ignorant, mean actually translate the word ignorant into uninformed. And here's why I do not want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about today. Usually when you're ignorant, when there's something unknown out there, it allows the spirit of fear to have a stronghold in your life, right? My kids right now, my baby girl at 7 years old, when I say, hey, do you want to run downstairs and turn off the lights? In her mind, there's all these things on, it's unknown to her what can be in that basement. So fear keeps her at the top of the stairs or looking at me as she goes every stair. And in my mind, I thought I could have walked down and turned these off by now, right? And so but if you have fear of spiritual gifts, because it's unknown to you or you're ignorant about them, then you're going to be slower to move towards them. So let's do this. Let's demystify them. Let's bring them down to everyday conversation so that we can understand what these gifts are about. And then here's my other fear. It's not that you're ignorant or uninformed about spiritual gifts, is you've been informed incorrectly. There's a chance that you've grown up in the spiritual climate that we are now, and you've heard that the Holy Spirit is no longer active today. And I'm just letting you know, you're not a part of a church that believes that. We believe that the Holy Spirit is active. We believe that he's alive now. We believe these gifts are present here on the earth for specific reasons to each of us. And so we also want to clarify that. The word spiritual gifts here actually comes from a Greek word called pneumatikos. So pneumatikos, the meaning of the word is powered by breath or wind. Have you ever heard of a pneumatic drill, right? A pneumatic drill, it's powered by air. And so here's, if we wanted to rewrite 1 Corinthians 12:1, I would say this, I want to talk to you, I want to inform you about the gifts that are powered by the breath of God. I want to talk to you today about the gifts that are powered by the breath of God. Or let me say it a little different way. I want to inform you about the gifts so that you can only move out in if you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe through you. Okay? These are not something that you do. These are what God does. And so now concerning spiritual gifts, by the way, this is like, everyone stick with me for a second. This is just history for you to know it. I don't know if it'll help you at all today. Because in 1 Corinthians, you're going to read the phrase, now concerning gifts. Now you're going to hear that phrase 6 different times. And the reason why is because Paul's actually writing back about a letter that they wrote back about a letter that he wrote initially. So 1 Corinthians may actually be 2 Corinthians because there was a letter written. We actually see Paul in chapter 5 say to them, the letter that I wrote earlier to you. In chapter 7, he's writing and he says, listen, this is concerning what you wrote me. So this, when it comes to spiritual gifts, apparently is an ongoing conversation with the Corinthians church. So let me say this to you. I have something that I'm going to say to you. Let's keep this an ongoing conversation to try to figure out what all this means. Because I'm going to give you, if I can say it this way, a fortune cookie nugget worth of spiritual gifts today. But you're going to find out that in Romans chapter 12, there's motivational gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, there's ministry gifts. In Ephesians 4, there's ministerial gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's the manifestation gifts. There's a lot to talk about. But today, I only want to cover one little part. But even as Paul did with the church of Corinth, let's have an ongoing conversation so we can figure out how to develop these. So as we move to 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation gifts, there's two things I want to tell you. We believe that the gifts are active and available today. And by the way, I'm going to say that again and let you say amen for two reasons. One, so you believe it. Number two, make sure I haven't bored you to sleep yet. Okay, ready? Here we go. We believe that all these gifts are active and available today. Amen. Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his calls are irrevocable. Well, the Holy Spirit isn't active today. I don't know what you do with that scripture because I don't read a place where God said, okay, Holy Spirit, come back home. You're done working. Like, show me that scripture and I'll stop talking to him and stop believing in him. But the fact is, his gifts and his callings are irrevocable. Number two, we believe that all of these gifts are available to believers, not just select few. The Holy Spirit, you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a title. You don't have... As long as you are a follower of Jesus Christ, believing that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that person has come to earth with a specific mission, and that mission is going to be accomplished through the tabernacles or tents known as humanity. And as he's living inside of us, there's going to be supernatural things that we're able to do, not for our glory, not for our recognition, but to glorify the body of Christ because of Jesus. That's what we're talking about. So, how many are ready to talk about some gifts today? Say amen. Amen. By the way, I know that I have full-blown teacher hat on, so I'm trying to keep you engaged. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Now, to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. Question for you. Are you an each? Okay. Did it say for each pastor? For each ordained minister? For each person who spent enough time to qualify themselves so that God can be happy with them and won't be embarrassed by putting his label on top of them, and no way will they ever mess up in life. Amen. By the way, I just rambled. It's all of us, for each of us. So if you qualify for it, here's what I want to say. We want to demystify. I want these things to be known to you. So God wants us to know these things. That to one there is given through the Spirit, not through any other qualifications, the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by what? The Spirit. Another, a gift of healing by the Spirit. I don't know if you've seen a theme here, but it's all because of the Holy Spirit. To another, miraculous power. Another, prophecy. Another, distinguishing between spirits or discerning of spirits. To another, speaking in different kind of tongues. To another, the interpretations of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each. Are you here today and are you in each? Yes. Okay, to each one, just as he determines. And so here's what we're going to do. I believe in 1 Corinthians 12 and the studies that I've done that we can break these spiritual gifts out into three categories, okay? So the first category is the gift of manifestation. The second category is the gift of administration. The third category is the gift of operations. So three different categories that we're going to talk about today, because every good sermon needs 3 points. So those are my 3 points. Now, you might have heard it this way. Instead of the gift of manifestation, you've heard dynamic gifts before. I am fine with that, just not the terms we're going to use to it. And instead of the gift of administration, it's the discerning gifts. It would be another way to title that. Gift of operation would be your declarative gifts. But here's one of the coolest things that I see that how God has kind of brought these 12 gifts to us, or excuse me, these 9 different gifts that we're going to be talking about today. The neat thing is, in week number 1, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is a person, and you as a person are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Wouldn't you think that in the supernatural ordination of God, that he is bringing us these gifts to minister to our body, soul, and spirit? So as we talk about the gift of manifestation, you're going to see that these are probably having to do more with our physical bodies. These gift of manifestations that we need to see. The second one, when it comes to the discerning gifts or the gifts of administration, it's for our soul. It's for that internal brain that continues to war with us all the time. And the third one is going to be our spirit, the gift of operational gifts, those declarative gifts. So we're going to run through these quickly because we're going to unpack them in the next couple minutes. Underneath the gift of manifestation, you're going to have healing, faith, and miracles, right? Can you see how that would have to do with the body? Healing, faith, and miracle. The second one is our soul, the gift of administration. It's our discerning gifts. It's the gifts of knowledge. It's gifts of winning, wisdom. It's those internal things that you can't automatically know that God will give it to you for you to have the knowledge that you need to work with. And then the final one is the gift of operation, our spirit. This is our tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These are the things that through the Spirit, only the Spirit knows, and we'll talk about all of them. So, number one, gift of manifestation. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word you will receive power here is the Greek word dunamis. Do you hear the word dynamite there? Yeah. Right? We have different authorities. Think about this. A police officer walks into a house. He has an authority and a power because of the badge hanging on his chest. And because of that power and authority that the chest brings, most people choose to submit to that authority in order to, you know, whatever's going on there. But when the authority of the chest isn't enough, he can reach for his dunamis authority. Right? He can reach for his dynamite authority. We have authority on the earth because of whose we are in Christ. But there are aspects of your life that you're going to run into the things that not only the power of God spoken, but the power of God demonstrated is what we're going to show. And so in these physical bodies, we want to have these gifts of manifestation. The first one is healing. Here's the definition for you to have. Healing, supernatural endowments of divine health. When it comes to healing, supernatural endowments of divine health. Here's a biblical example out of Acts chapter 28. By the way, these are just going to stay up. They'll eventually fill up. You can take the picture. You can also download our app that has all these notes plus more inside of them. But in Acts chapter 28, you have Paul who is on a ship. He's actually on his way to go to court. Ship gets shipwrecked. They're next to a fire. As the fire is being stoked, a venomous snake comes out and bites Paul. And what does he do? He shakes it loose, and everybody there waited for him to die because of this bite. But he had supernatural healing that occurred there. And not only did that happen, after he got bit, something amazing happened. All of a sudden, the villagers thought of him as a god, and he said this. He goes, hang on a second. I'm not your god. Let me tell you about the one who is. And then other sick people started coming and started having healing. Why? Because there's divine health that can take place in this area. And you may go, well, that's great for Acts 29. But hang on a second. We still believe that it's happening today. 2 weeks ago, as we were having a time of worship here at the church, and it went into interactive worship, we felt like God wanted to pray for people who were sick, who weren't doing well. And a lady who is here, actually sitting over to my left in this area, raised her hand to say that she wanted healing because her neck was hurting all the way up to the back of her head and absolute just agony. She got prayed for, and 2 weeks ago, at that moment, not 10 days later, not after aspirin and some ibuprofen, in church, in that moment, she was healed, and this morning even reported that that ailment has never come back on her yet. So how did it happen? Our bodies can produce health, but all of a sudden Jesus shows up and you shortcut the process and you're just healed. And so if you're here, you know what? I'm going to do this. Right now, I want to go into prayer. I feel it rising up, the faith. Let's do this. We're going to talk about a lot of these things. And at the end, just know, we're just going to ask God if he wants to speak to any of these things specifically. And let's just ask him to bring healing, right? And so next one, faith. It's a supernatural impartation of belief and confidence for a specific situation. That is a supernatural impartation where you believe something, you know something, you're confident in something about a situation probably that you can't control. And here's supernatural faith, just in case you need a Bible example. You have Noah, who God came and said, hey, I need you to build an ark. And by the way, it's not going to rain for 120 years. Yeah. That's a lot of faith to keep on swinging. Right, every time you hit your finger with that hammer and those words wanted to come out, I bet you somewhere along the line, Noah was ready to throw the towel in. But guess what? He stayed faithful because of a gift of faith. I can tell you now, there's been a couple places in my life that I believe that I've worked underneath the gift of faith. And currently, I believe I'm working under one. Because right now, by the end of the day, one of you, someone, is going to text me, call me, email me, tweet me, Instagram me, Facebook me, or just hit me. And they're going to ask this question, so where's the church moving to? And the answer's this, no stinking clue. At this point, I don't know if God knows. I'll be honest with you, we're just all lost. I know that we have knocked on, and I kid you not, we've knocked on 20 different doors. We've been seeking, we've been asking, we've been pursuing, and it just comes back dead every time. I also know that there's a deadline coming up a year and a half from now or so that we have to hit, and where are we going to move, and what happens if we get kicked out, and are we going to be homeless, and there's all these questions, and I can tell you this, and I mean this. I have yet to lose a moment of sleep or to live under 1 ounce of anxiety. I believe this. I truly believe this. God has given me a spirit of faith right now. Because I was told that we're going to get property. I have no idea what that means. I was told that we're supposed to be a city on top of a hill. I don't know what that means. But I know this. It's either his church or it's not. And if he's not stressed about it, why should I be? I think God has given me a spirit of faith when it comes to who we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to go. And guess what? I'm going to do what God's called me to. And outside of that, I'm not doing his job. It's his job to build the church, not mine. I'll let you pause. I cut off a clap earlier and didn't give you a chance on that one. So when it comes to the gift of manifestation, this is for our physical bodies. Now we have miracles, divine intervention that alters our natural circumstances. Here's the beautiful thing about miracles. When it comes to the enemy, when it comes to Satan, when it comes to the evil one, when it comes to miracles, there is no counterculture that the enemy has. Our God provides miracles. Our God provides life. When there was, here's an example, biblical example, John chapter 9, the man that was born blind, there had to be a regeneration. A healing is when the body kind of jumps towards the natural end of where we could be. That's a beautiful healing. A miracle is when you need a divine, supernatural occurrence for something to be removed, something to be brought in. That's a miracle. And so I have all these different examples for miracles, but I'm going to try this. Instead of me giving you an example, if you're here today and you've ever experienced a miracle of Jesus Christ, if you know that there was a place in your life where you needed to go from point A to point B and medicine, doctors, anything else just did not have the answer, but you miraculously received a healing, I'm just going to ask you to do this. Raise your hand in the air. So So for those, hang on, you got to be louder and prouder than that. Give it a second. So for those of you that may not believe miracles still occur today, I need you to do this. Look around at the, 15, 20% of the people that have their hands up, and you have to say, I deny what God did in your life. If you go, well, I don't believe it because I haven't experienced it. Well, there's too many people that just raised our hands up to say that I have experienced it before. I believe in the gift of miracles still. Now, moving on, just a lot to cover, a little bit of time. The gift of administration, discerning gifts. This is the ability to discern the source of spiritual manifestations, whether it is the Holy Spirit, an evil spirit, or just merely our human spirit. I'm sorry to tell you this. Sometimes it's not the enemy working on you. It's you working on you. What's the difference between me? What's the difference between him? What's the difference between God? This is the gift of discerning spirit. Acts 16 tells us this great story where they're walking through, and this girl behind them is going, these guys are from the living God. These guys are from the living God. These guys, and you would think, man, we got a great promoter behind us. The problem was that she was actually a fortune teller, and she wasn't there with God. She was with another enemy. And finally, they turned around and they said, time for you to shut it. You go read it for yourself. They use a little nicer words, not much. But they cast this evil spirit out, even though the spirit was saying something that you would think was God-centered. They had a discerning of the spirits. Here's why I believe that we need to leverage and lean into the discerning of spirits in our own life. Because there could be things coming to attack you that you don't even see. And you start attacking the wrong person. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we were in a meeting where an individual, a family, a situation we were in, just got very toxic, very vile. And my wife and I left, and it doesn't matter if it ended good or bad, but it was what we were part of. And the next day, my wife and I, we started fighting about something. And I couldn't figure out why in the world we're fighting about this. This is just stupid that we're fighting about it. I'm annoyed that we're fighting about it. And oddly enough, she was annoyed that we were fighting about it. She was tired of fighting about it. And we just kept fighting about it. And every time we talked about it to try to come to resolution, we kept fighting more about it. And I was driving down the road, and I did the craziest thing in this year of radical devotion. I just said, Holy Spirit, what is going on? And here's what I know that I heard. The meeting that you were in yesterday released a spirit of division that is seeing if it's available to come into your house. I pulled home. Cammy was going to be leaving right at the time. I vividly remember this. So I rolled down my car window. She rolled down hers. And I said to her, I go, honey, there's a spirit of division trying to get between us. And it was released yesterday. And both sitting separate in our car, we both started crying and realized this wasn't against each other. We had a discerning of spirits. We're trying to figure out where our soul man was going crazy, but this one wasn't our soul man. A lot of times it is, but this one, it was a spirit of division that was trying to get inside of our family. And so we say, God, that spirit of division isn't welcome at the church. That spirit of division isn't welcome in our house. And that spirit of division isn't going to keep me from who you are, your spirit inside of me. Discerning a spirit is a powerful thing that we need to have in our life, because is it the Holy Spirit? Is it an evil spirit? Or is it just our own soul working up? Words of wisdom, a divine answer or solution for a particular event. Have you ever been in a place where all of a sudden you said something and you went, where did that answer come from? There is a chance it is the Holy Spirit inside of you. Early Acts chapter 6, everyone's getting saved. Thousands of people are coming. The apostles are busy working and talking and everything. And all of a sudden, they realize there were people in need. And the apostles goes, wait a second, if we keep serving everyone that's in need, what about the people that need to hear our message? And there was a divine answer in Acts chapter 6 called the deacons. Raise up people that are here just to serve and love people. And I know in our life, that this goes back years and years ago, we felt like we were a church that was not connected to our community. And we decided, out of nowhere, we were going to build the world's largest ketchup packet. And like, wait, That's a really dumb idea. No, I get it, but it seemed like a really good idea. First of all, I had the gift of faith to think we could pull it off, but I also feel like I got a word of wisdom, word of knowledge right here in this moment. So not only did we end up building a ketchup packet, the year that we wanted to do it, the two people that normally put on the ketchup packet or ketchup bottle party and put on the car show were fighting. They didn't want to work together, but the moment we did it, they were willing to work with us. So a citywide party that's normally not even here came to our front door, and we got to actually be a vital part of the city. And that was the inroad that we've been able to walk for the last 15 years. Because there was a time of just that biblical wisdom. Word of knowledge. Third and final one in this category. To know something specific without having the knowledge through natural means. Jesus, John chapter 4, sitting at a well. And he says, where's your husband? And she goes, I'm not married. And he goes, no, I know. You're hooked up with guy number 6 now. Now, I would deliver it a little better than he did, but that's how he did it, right? There was a word of knowledge that came about that all of a sudden wrecked her to her very soul. Years ago, I was up in Washington, actually, with my mother, Dr. Patty. We were ministering at a church. And I remember being on the right-hand side of the stage. And all of a sudden, God, I just felt like he said it to me. There's someone here today that has been longing for a relationship for me, but because they grew up where mom and dad were pastors, they don't even know how to relate to me. And I remember standing over here and I said, wait a second, there's someone here that you grew up a PK, God. And I just remember like looking around, and then all of a sudden I made eyes with this lady over to the left of me, and I said, you grew up as a pastor's kid. And I started, you would have thought I was her best friend. I started pouring out all this knowledge, but here's the thing, it's not knowledge for me. It was knowledge she needed to know that God knew, so that when he said to her, I want a relationship with you, all of a sudden she had to know that it was real, because the all-knowing God just poured out enough knowledge for her to realize he knows where I'm at. There's times where we have these gifts and these words of knowledge, and it's not for ourselves. It's for the edification and the building up of saints. So now we still have 3 more to go, but running low on time. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about tongues. Tongues, by definition, a message from God in a language unknown to a person through whom the message is coming. So this is just the gift of tongues. So then we also have the interpretation of tongues. This is understanding, expressing the thought or the intent of the message of tongues. So we're just going to talk about this for a minute because I want to confuse you just enough to come back next week. So there's tongues, a prayer language that we have with God, but then there's also tongues like in a corporate setting like this that someone would stand up and out of their mouth begin praying in tongues. And you have no idea what's happening. It's in a language you don't know. Truth be told, you don't know if they're speaking Latin, if they're speaking Greek, if they're speaking in tongues or just German. Like, you don't know what's happening. But then after that, someone else gets up and they interpret what those tongues were about. And so 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I would like each one of you to speak in tongues. We'll cover that a lot more next week. In case you wonder if tongues are for today, we're going to have to do something with this scripture. I would like each one of you to speak in tongues. So in case anyone wonders where I stand on the subject, I stand on this. I would like each one of you to speak in tongues, because I'm quoting the Bible. But I would rather have you prophesy. And if there's one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, why? So the church can be edified. So they have the gift of tongues, but you also have the interpretation of tongues. And ultimately, that brings us to the third gift in this category, is prophecy. A message of encouragement from God through a person. Throughout the entire time that God's been on earth, he's had a desire to talk to people. And when it comes to him talking to people, there are times that he did it from a burning bush. There were times that he did it as an angel standing on earth. There were times that from a mountain you would just hear a voice. There were times that Jesus walked around and was that voice, but now the time is ours. Why? Because there was a God who is a person who has a specific plan here on earth. And in order to fulfill that plan, he needs to be have a house or a temple to live in. That's us. And while he's living us, there's going to be certain expressions that come out. And one of those things is the will of God through the prophetic voice to talk about tomorrow, even though we're living today. And these are words of encouragement. And so, if you go, well, you didn't really unpack tongues and interpretation of tongues and private prayer language, you are absolutely correct. I did not. But if you'd like to know more about that, feel free to come next week, where we're going to spend all of our time so that all men may prophesy, all men may have tongues, all men may have this. But in these spiritual gifts, in the last 2 minutes, I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in tongues of men or angels, or let's say this way, if I speak in tongues, it's words that you don't understand, but I do not have love, I am just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So if you are all spiritual and you don't care about those around you that are lost and dying, congratulations, you are a loud clanging cymbal. And if you have the gift of prophecy and you can fathom mysteries and knowledge, if you can hear from God and be able to speak it upon people, and if I have faith that can move mountains, that gift of faith, but you do not have love, you are nothing. If I have all I possess, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I have nothing. And then this is where you know this scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is right. We go into this, we read this at every wedding, but what we fail to see so often is that love is completely connected to the gifts of the Spirit. We do not have these things. God does not give us these things. We don't exercise these things so that I may boast in who I am, so that I can become famous and get a podcast or a bunch of listeners that contribute to my ministry so that I can travel on the latest, greatest bus, plane, jet, it's not about that. Here's what it's about. All of these gifts that we're talking about go to elevate and boast of who God is. Because at the end of the day, if someone needs a miracle and they had cancer and all of this, you pray, it's eradicated from their body, you go back to the doctor, it gives God glory because no way else could this happen. You're sitting inside of a grocery store and someone's in front of you and you look at them and all of a sudden you have this knowledge that they are having a bad day and they just need someone to say, are you doing okay? All of a sudden you step in, but you don't know if you can do it. So God gives you the gift of faith and there's a boldness inside of you to step out and give this word of knowledge to this individual, and in the middle of the conversation they're looking for answers, so a word of wisdom comes your way and all of a sudden you're able to give them a solution to the problem that they've been searching all the time. At some point you have to realize you did nothing except talk and be available. God has given these gifts to humanity now, not for our growth, not for our fame, but to advance the kingdom of God. So we believe that he's a person, that he has a job, that he's present today, and that the Holy Spirit has an expression in my life through different gifts and powers. But what about my language to him? What about my tongue? Look forward to next week as we cover this topic and many, many more. Amen. But for today, in just as we close, I want to pray. You're welcome. Thank you. I want to just take a second and pray right now. When I mentioned earlier, was it the gift of healing? It was the gift of healing. Let's do this. I want to pray for bodies today. I want to pray that if you're here and you need a gift of healing, if you need a miracle in your body, I would even say this, just I had a conversation with someone earlier, if you know someone. So here's what the word intercessor means. It means to stand in the gap. And if you're here today and someone that you heaven touches that earth and where they're at. So if you're here right now and your body's hurt and there's something wrong with you, Holy Spirit, Lord, we don't have to do this fancy and we don't have to make this organized. If you're watching us in our online campus, Holy Spirit, right now, I ask for your power to fall. I ask for your miraculous power miraculous manifestations to show up. Lord, we breathe right now the breath of life into bodies. I pray for eyesight right now. Been losing it. It's becoming more and more cloudy. Every time you go to the doctor, they don't quite seem to have the answer. I pray for your eyesight right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for anyone suffering with the nerve, sciatic nerve that's in your back. I pray for that nerve right now in the name of Jesus to be released and to ease. I pray for numbing that's going down your arm to be released right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for miracles to occur in this place. Pray for health and wholeness in the name of Jesus. God, we believe these things can happen. We believe that they are an expression to a cynical world that is lost and dying. And when they experience these words of knowledge, words of wisdom, Lord, there's no way to debate it because their soul, their body, their spirit was touched. So today, God, aliven all of us with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be on mission for you. I'm going to ask for two amens here. If you're here today and you are receiving that healing from Jesus, say amen. Amen. And for everybody else, if you believe the Holy Spirit is alive and active today, say amen. 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 So this week, I want to encourage you, fast something. I want to encourage you to dig in. I want you to find a time where you intentionally be talking to your Holy Spirit. For those of you in our online campus, we're so grateful that you're here with us today. Don't forget, if you're available to come here in person next week, we're going to have an egg stuffing party. But worst case scenario, make sure to sign up to be a part of our volunteer outreach. God bless our online campus. We dismiss you right now.